91.3 FM, also streaming. VOCFM.co.za. It's our Philistine Friday edition. My name is Junaid Shafika. Keep us company via the WhatsApp line 0829913913. I know, judging by our conversations we've had now for close to 2 years, maybe it'll be 2 years, that the conversation is kind of dialed down slightly from your side. We get less interaction on a Friday. But yeah, if you do, hop onto the WhatsApp line or share us some of those sentiments via a voice note. 0829913913. Cap the VN. 260 seconds. Now, President Donald Trump stated that he informed apartheid Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu that the U.S. would keep seeking discussions and continue to engage with the Islamic Republic of Iran. In a meeting on Wednesday, President Trump informed Netanyahu that he would persist in pursuing a diplomatic agreement with Iran, even though there is doubt within Netanyahu's administration about Trump's negotiation attempts. So they've met now 7 times, once in apartheid Israel, and then 6 times during the first year of President Trump's tenure. A lot of times that they've met. So online international relations analyst and expert, always great to have him on the show, Dr. Oscar van Heerden, to help us unpack these so-called negotiations. Dr. Oscar, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Junaid, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Always good to have you on PM Drive, Dr. Oscar. So according to President Trump, he was quoted as saying nothing definitive has been reached about Iran. And this was apparently his communication with Prime Minister Netanyahu. They met behind closed doors, I understand, for the 6th time at the White House and in the U.S. Quite a lot of meetings that they've had in the last year.
No, absolutely. And, you know, contrary to popular opinion, this time around, the meeting did not go as well as Netanyahu had anticipated. Because, as you rightfully say in your insert, President Donald Trump reminded him that they are wanting to push forward with the negotiations and that there's only really one issue on the negotiating table, which of course Netanyahu is taking issue with, because I would have assumed, Junaid, knowing Netanyahu over the many, many years, he is very, very against Iran. He has always advocated for the dismantling of Iran and for regime change. I don't think that would have changed on the agenda of this meeting. I think the meeting didn't go as planned because there wasn't a press conference afterwards. There was no imagery of hugging and saying we are best friends and buddies and the bromance that we always know between Trump and Netanyahu. None of that happened, and it's because, for a number of reasons. One is because the military might of Iran itself has now been explained to Donald Trump. You know, people forget, Junaid, by the time the Americans and the allied forces, the coalition of the willing, invaded Iraq because they wanted to overthrow the Saddam regime, they had been pounding that country, bombing that country from the air for 10 years before they decided they are now ready to put boots on the ground and to move towards Baghdad and to overthrow. And even then it was on false pretenses and misinformation, as you know. Iran is a completely different kettle of fish. Firstly, it has not been bombed for a decade. The government is strong. The military is strong. They have invested for more than a decade in long-range ballistic supersonic missiles. And they have proven to have these. I think the Israelis, with all their intelligence, were shocked with the 12-day war and how Iran was able to penetrate their defenses and to hit targets directly, which of course was kept under wraps, and Western media was kept away because they didn't want to show us the true extent of the damage and the killing. So So for all these reasons, Trump decided to say, no, no, our key interest here is to try and make sure that Iran does not get possession of a nuclear weapon. That is first and foremost, because Netanyahu, when he realized that a war, an open conflict is not going to be possible because of opposition from Trump's administration and the military, he then said, you must add additional issues on the negotiating table. It's not only the nuclear threat. It's also about long-range ballistic missiles that must be curbed. It's also about not clamping down on protesters. It's also about not supporting proxy groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, the Hutus, and so forth. So, and Trump said, no, none of those is on the agenda. We're only talking about nuclear. So Bibi Netanyahu left there very disappointed, was not interested in a press conference, and returned to Israel. And I suspect that the talk now with pundits and international analysts is all about the old age strategy, Junaid, where Netanyahu might decide to attack Iran on their own as Israel and force America into the war. But then we must ask the question, to what end, where will it end?
Certainly, the thought alone, Dr. Oscar, catastrophic, not only for West Asia, but for the entire world globally. It would certainly set off major panic stations, and the consequences and repercussions socially, economically, politically, financially, disastrous. Now, Dr. Oscar, as you rightfully say, no press conference after the Trump-Netanyahu meeting, the sixth one in the U.S., they had one when President Trump visited Tel Aviv a couple of months ago. But then we saw unconfirmed reports and images floating around showing Netanyahu meeting with Kushner, Witkoff, etc. Can this be confirmed that this was perhaps a meeting after the first meeting that perhaps didn't go according to plan? So now maybe meeting with the lobby instead?
Yes. No, no. Look, it is unconfirmed. You are correct. But it makes logical sense if you think about it. You flew all the way to Washington, D.C. You thought you would have a good reception with Trump. You did not make any headway. The truth is that you will then meet with those that you see as being close to Trump and around Trump to say, please, can you convince this man? He's not listening to me. I'm saying these are issues that must be on the table. And so on and so forth. So it is not, I don't put it past Netanyahu. Remember that the Israeli lobby in Washington play all angles. They don't only depend on Donald Trump. They also have their senators. They have their congressmen, men and women, all people that they have paid and whose pockets they've lined and so forth. So they always play a very multi-pronged game in Washington. So we haven't seen the end of it, because remember, there's also two other things that is important to note, Junaid. We've seen these kinds of meetings before where they tell us that it's going in a certain direction. They are committed to talking to the Iranians. And the next thing we see, there's a sneak attack from Israel wanting to decapitate the leadership of Iran and the military. Of course, Iran is now once bitten, twice shy.
Yes.
They've learned that lesson. They're certainly not sitting around in their houses with their families waiting for Israeli missiles again. But there's that angle where we cannot trust Trump and Netanyahu. They might be spinning us a particular story, because also what is important is post the meeting, another aircraft carrier was instructed to make its way to the region. So you then have to ask the question, why? Is it just because Trump wants to flex muscle, so to put pressure on the Iranians in the negotiations, or are they quietly yet again beginning to get ready for another attack? These are all the unanswered questions, unfortunately.
Indeed. In conclusion, Dr. Oscar, it continues to accentuate and to be confirmed that Iran certainly stands as the last bastion, the last barrier in West Asia, or the so-called Middle East, to Tel Aviv and Washington wanting to reshape the landscape of the region and the global order. So it remains a major bone of contention for Netanyahu, despite the fact that we continue to be fed by mainstream media that Iran is the boogeyman, the big bad wolf. Yet we've seen Epstein files come out now that has really just re-shown us and perhaps gotten us to revisit what the so-called global standards of norms and values are. And they continue to speak to us about Iran oppressing women, etc., etc. And yet Washington and Tel Aviv have been able partners in continuing the genocide of Palestinians in the occupied territory. So a reshape, a rethink, possibly a reset is definitely in order, but it's not going to happen automatically, Dr. Oscar.
In fact, that narrative, Junaid, is not holding water anymore. Mm. That used to be the narrative of Iran being the boogeyman. I think there's consensus, with the exception of the UAE.
Yeah.
With the exception of the UAE, even Saudi Arabia has this time around said to Trump, we don't want you to attack Iran. And remember, they were arch enemies.
Yeah.
We are not in favor of you attacking Iran, and you are not using our airspace for any such attack. We are not happy about this. The general Arab world in that part of the world is seeing one boogeyman, one problem, and that boogeyman and problem. And that's why I'm saying that narrative that you are outlining must be placed on its head. Mm. Because in that part of the world, everyone is seeing the settler colonial occupier as the boogeyman, as the one who's destabilizing the region. They've destabilized Iraq. They've destabilized Libya. They've destabilized Syria. They've bombed Lebanon. Now they've attacked Iran, and they want to further continue breaking Iran up. So the Arab world, as I say, with the exception of the UAE, are clear that they are not in favor of this war, and they know that an attack on Iran is going to be catastrophic for the region and beyond.
Indeed, Dr. Oscar van Heerden, international relations analyst and expert. Dr. Oscar, as always, thanks so much for your time and PM Drive. Have a good weekend, sir.